If you have your Bibles, if you can take them out. If you don't, there's some at the end of the row. And I'm going to get a smaller group, and I'm going to need some help this morning. So with some of the verses. Also, just I got away from it for a while. I don't know why, but hopefully with reminders, I'll be including that. You'll see in the sermon notes 5 for the drive, just things you can talk about with family or whoever on the way home, about the sermon, just kind of apply it to your own life. But, okay, I need some help here. Okay, Alice, Numbers 22, verse 31. Sarah, Numbers, verse 24. Verse 4, Jake, Psalm 119, verse 18, Ted, Deuteronomy 29, verse 2 to 4. Okay, Susie, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Two more. Amy, do you have Psalm 27, verses 1 to 3? Amy, Psalm 3, verse 6. 2 days ago, I had the boys, they were downstairs in our basement, and they were taking the ducts with that aluminum duct tape, all the seams and the creases, and we're doing that because about a year ago we had one of those people come in to do the free energy assessment of your house, how efficient is your house running, and then they try and sell you stuff afterwards. But one of the things they do to do that is they have these special glass and goggles that help you see, like you go up to your windows and it shows you all the heat being lost or all the heat coming in, whether you want it hot or cold, through your windows and escaping. You can literally, something you can never see with a naked eye, you can see this heat. You can see, what's going on, these goggles. And then, of course, they suggest if you buy their windows and other things, you can recoup the money that you're losing over the next 45 years that you're in your house. If you do that, well, we didn't buy anything from them, but it was interesting to look through their little goggles and see heat and air moving away that we never could with our naked eye. Today's lesson revolves around a similar concept of being able to see things that are there but not always visible. And this is our goggles to see it. If you don't have your thumb already, or even if you do, in a verse, everybody else. You can turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. We'll be looking at two different stories in 2 Kings chapter 6. Two of my favorite chapters in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 6 and 7. Actually, 2 Kings chapter 2 has a few verses that I think are poignant and important for us to know. You don't have to turn there, I'll read them quickly to you. This will be kind of our children's sermon for today. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23, is talking about Elisha. And it says, from there Elisha went to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, some youths came out of the town and jeered at him. Go on up, you bald head, they said. Go on up, you bald head. See, this bunch of probably like middle schoolers. They're making fun of Elisha, he's bald. Go on up, you bald head. He turned around, looked at them, called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. And he went on to Mount Carmel, and they returned to Samaria. So there's a children's sermon for today. I'll make fun of all the people. All right. But let's move forward. 2 Kings 6, beginning with verse 8. Same character. You got Elisha. He's a great prophet of God. He was kind of an apprentice, a disciple to Elijah. Sometimes people get those mixed up, Elijah and Elisha. But and then when Elijah died or was taken up to heaven and chariot of fire, Elisha basically took over his ministry and actually prayed for a double portion of Elijah's spirit and received it when he left. And even though Elijah is known as great prophet of power, Elisha actually did even more miracles than Elijah did. So here we have Elisha. And at this point in Israel's history, they have several enemies that are bordering their lands. And all around them, there's these different countries that are kind of coming in time to time and then attack Israel. And at this time, one of those is the nation of Aram. And their king is trying to set ambushes for the Israelite people, like trying to go and set ambushes, and when they're coming by, then they can attack. So look at 2 Kings 6, verse 8, which says, "Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, 'I will set up my camp in such and such a place.' The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, 'Beware of passing that place.'" That's Elisha. "Said, 'Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going to go down there.' So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and time again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. So this enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, 'Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?' 'None of us, my lord the king,' said one of his officers. 'But Elisha, the prophet who's in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom.' 'Well, go and find out where he is,' the king ordered, 'so I can send men and capture him.' And the report came back, he is in Dothan." So here he is kind of showing Israel, in red there is Dothan. If that sounds a little bit familiar, that's where Joseph went to meet up with his brothers, and he was looking for them in the fields, and that's where they ended up throwing him in a well and selling him into slavery as the Ishmaelite traders were coming down towards Egypt. But it says to go there to Dothan. "Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there." I like this. "They went by night and surrounded the city." Well, Elisha, this is man of God, already knows everywhere where the Arameans are going. He's already told the Israelites that. But still, I think they can sneak up on him, going at night. You might as well come at day with a brass band playing, because he's going to see you coming. But they went by night. "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning," this is the servant of Elisha, "went out the next morning with an army of horses and chariots that surrounded the city. 'Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked. 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet answered. 'Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" Which I can imagine the prophet, the servant at that point saying, "Really? Because I'm just counting myself as one. I don't know how many count you as, but I'm kind of counting two." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, that he may see." So the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The servant looked. He saw these hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. By the way, chariots of fire, all-time favorite movie. You should watch that. But did those horses and chariots just show up all of a sudden, or they've been there the entire time? They've been there. Elisha merely prayed that his servant's eyes would be open so he could see them. Now, Elisha's servants, was he blind? He wasn't blind, right? He'd seen the other army. He'd seen the army of the Arameans. So it wasn't his physical eyes that needed an opening, right? His spiritual eyes needed to be open. So he had an understanding of what was really happening. You ever experienced that? Where you don't understand something, and then somebody explains it to you, and then you say, "Oh," what do you say? "Oh, now I see," right? His spiritual eyes were open. Now he understood. Now he could see what was all around him the entire time. Right. How is this happening? I mean, I know that there's a radio station that's playing this music. How now all of a sudden coming here and on my radio? Any kids can tell me how that's happening? How's that happening? What do you think? Who thinks it's magic? Okay, one magic, good. Alright, yeah, two. Alright, who thinks there's a wire that's actually going through the table outside and goes to the radio station? No? Anybody else?
Radio waves.
Yeah. There's these radio waves that are in the air all around us all the time, right? And they're coming, and they're here, and they're hitting this antenna, and then this thing translates that into sound waves and puts it out. You know, I can pull out my phone, most of you could, and if you've got like one of those smartphone, you've got the entire internet right here at your fingertips, yet it's not plugged in anything, right? There's these waves, radio waves and wireless waves that are all around us all the time. But unless we're tuned into them, we never hear them. We never see them. As I look between us, I don't see a bunch of waves going through the air. But when I'm tuned into them, you know, whether on my phone or radio or television, then I can see them clearly. There's more to this world than meets our eyes. And there's more to this world, this physical world, than meets our eyes. There's a spiritual world all around us that we don't see. The Bible references it a lot. A couple of verses. Numbers 22:31.
Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the world with a sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down.
And again, Balaam is in the blind person physically, but he opened his eyes spiritually to see the angel of the Lord. Numbers 24, verse 4.
The oracle of one who hears the words of God, who sees the vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate and whose eyes are opened.
Good. Psalm 119, 18.
Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law.
Okay. And one of the things that, that understanding, oh, now I see. One of the things Jesus was most known for was opening the eyes of the blind. You know, you sing that song, right? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And all of us all the time, we weren't really blind. We sing that song and we mean it. Because it's now I didn't understand. I didn't see. I didn't know. There's a spiritual world all around us that we don't see. There's also spiritual battles going on around that we don't hear. In fact, speaking of hearing, I want to move on to our next passage. If you want to turn over to just one page to 2 Kings, well, actually 6, starting at verse 24. Okay, quick summary here. Aram, remember the nation of Aram? They're coming again. They're coming after Israel. And at the time, you've got Israel split into two kingdoms, right? We've got the 10 tribes of Israel to the north and the 2 tribes of Judah to the south. We think of Jerusalem being the capital, but at that time, that was just the capital of Judah. But the capital of Israel to the north was Samaria. And so they surrounded the city, and they cut off their lines of food, and they cut off their lines of communication. It'd be like, and so nobody could go in and out. It'd be like if we're here, and all of a sudden we found out, you know, we looked out the windows, and we looked out here, and you see, it was like this huge army, right, around us, so we quickly shut the door again, and you look out the windows, and as long as we keep the doors locked, the people can't come in, but we also can't get out. So that's what it means, like, to lay siege to someplace. So if that happened, you know, what would we do? Well, first, you know, we'd probably start going in the other room and see them, like, candy and stuff we could eat, and then people going to their purses and finding mints and stuff, and we got some water, but, you know, eventually you just start scrounging around.